Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Anthony Bourdain is in our studio. No Reservations, Around the World on an Empty Stomach is his latest book about his travel and the food and people that he's met along the way. Mr. Bourdain, nice to see you again. How are you?
Good to see you. Doing really well.
So you're going to be in Chicago for about 20 minutes and then go on to some other exotic place and you never stop?
Pretty much, yeah. I have just about time enough to grab a hot dog, which you do very, very well here.
Well, here's a good question. So when you come to Chicago, what do you want to eat?
Hot dogs.
Really?
Yes. First place I went.
And where would you go? Any place, or do you have a place you seek out?
I've been to Gold Coast, Wiener Circle, but today's hot dog experience was very exciting.
We think that our food is, you know, uniquely Chicagoan, and the hot dogs particularly. Are ours better or different than the rest of the world's?
It's really funny. You find sort of a local hot dog mutation everywhere. Some of them are really bizarro. I was one of these guys who thought that the state-of-the-art dog was, of course, the New York Dirty Water hot dog, or maybe Papaya King in New York. I have to say, I prefer Chicago Red Hots. I prefer the Chicago hot dog to any other.
Is it mustard here and ketchup there?
It's all the garnishes, the celery, salt, and all of that, the pickle, that weird, all the condiments and garnishes. I like that.
Do you worry that you're not eating well, I mean healthy, and that you have this occupational hazard?
No, I don't really. I mean, it's gotten me this far. I mean, I feel that once I start eating healthy, I'm superstitious. You know, the day that I start eating healthy and worrying about these things is the day I get, you know, I'm involved in some sort of tragic, ironic, you know, accident with an ice cream truck, you know, caught up in the wheel well and dragged down the street to happy music. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
It's not what I was going after, but that's an interesting... Evidently, I hit a button that I didn't know you had.
No, but I just, you know, it's not a concern.
What about the, you know, the big food controversy in Chicago is the goose livers, foie gras. What's your take?
It's a terrible black eye for the city. It's shameful. Just at a time when foie gras, when Chicago was really taking its place as an international food destination, this law sails by, which, you know, I don't know how it plays locally, but
we
nationally and internationally, you come off looking really bad.
But you know, they say that, and I think, yeah, but really nobody pays any attention to this. They don't know about this in St. Louis. Is the world of
You're
food,
used as an example.
Really?
No,
they
let
hold
this happen
up, really?
To you. Look what they can get away with. Look how bad it can be, and this might well be the future.
So while you're doing your show for Travel Channel, you guys were taking pictures along the way. Is that how this book came to be?
Yeah, and I guess I wanted to, you know, on one hand, for me, it's just like a scrapbook of, you know, my never-ending summer vacation with commentary and essays, but it's also, I think, a way to acknowledge, you know, travel television, there are certain things that always bug me about it, like the guy walking along in the desert, your lonely host looking kind of forlorn. You seldom acknowledge that there's, of course, a camera crew walking backwards in front of them. So this is more about the process of making the show, what it feels like to actually make television in all these wonderful places, than it is what you need to know about Shanghai.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's particularly true these days where they have these survival men who are, you know, living in the forest or in the Sahara Desert.
Yeah, but, you know, didn't they catch one of these guys getting, like, choppered over to the Ramada Inn every night?
You know, Starbucks coffee in the forest and it looked bad. So you said, okay, so let's actually tell the story from our perspective. And so here we have, though, of course, your text, but just this is a picture scrapbook of the world, and then you see the food and the people and the places. You are, if you had to get caught in the wheel well of an ice cream truck anywhere, you would prefer to be in Asia. Is that correct?
For sure, Southeast Asia.
Southeast Asia.
Yeah, so Vietnam, Indonesia, Malaysia, Borneo. That's
Why?
A part of the world. The food's great. It looks fantastic. It feels like, you know, if as a child you dreamed of like being in a movie, you know, the perfect kind of exotic movie. It fits in with all my romantic notions of the way the world should be.
Yeah, but what makes the perfect food to you? It has to be colorful. It has to be hot,
fresh, spicy.
Yeah.
I like spicy, good chili component. And both a mix of both the unfamiliar and the somehow strangely really familiar.
Right. So that must be an increasingly difficult challenge for your host then, because you've sampled food all around the world.
I am a man of simple needs in the sense that a bowl of pho in Vietnam and a low plastic stool or street food in Singapore, street food classics, or you know a well made roast goose at a stand in the street in Shanghai, that makes me real happy.
Do you conclude that Americans are paranoid about the health, about the cleanliness of the food process? Because these pictures, some of those wouldn't pass code around here, but they all seem to be doing fine out there in the rest of the planet.
I don't see that we're in any position to tell anybody about, healthy food. You need only to look at the disappearing necks and expanding thighs of our citizenry. We're in no position to sneer at anyone. I advise people eat local. If it's a septic-looking little street stall with chickens and pigs running around, and there's a line of people from that community, whether it's Oaxaca or Bali, lined up to eat that product, chances are they've been doing it and doing it well and doing it safely without poisoning their neighbors for quite some time. Mm-hmm. In my experience, you're much more likely to get ill. In fact, we have a pool on the crew where we bet who's going to get sick first. And it's always someone from the hotel buffet, the major Western, it's that club sandwich every time.
The food changes, I guess, around the world. You said Asia is your favorite. Is there a place that's more difficult for you to enthusiastically describe?
Uzbekistan was not my favorite foodie destination. It was not food, folks, and fun. It was meat on a stick, pilaf. Secret police, and it just wasn't fun for me.
The whole culture, the whole living there wasn't pleasant.
It was just kind of depressing. It's post-Soviet. You really feel like they've removed all the Stalin statues and replaced them with Tamerlane, but the feeling, the totalitarian feeling is still there. There are pictures of the maximum leader in every, in every barbershop and every restaurant, and he's not smiling. It felt oppressive for me. Barat was not entirely wrong about that country. That's in my view.
In our studio is Anthony Bourdain. No reservations. Around the World on an Empty Stomach is his latest effort. You see him on the Travel Channel all of the time, which is funny because you're not on the Food Network, right?
Yeah,
on the Food Channel.
I wanted to travel. I wanted to go faraway places, and Food Network. I had two very good years with them, but ultimately they wanted me to do pony rides in America, chili cook-offs and tailgate parties, and let Bobby Flay do that stuff.
What do you make of Emeril losing his gig or leaving it?
I'm sad about it. I think it doesn't portend well for anybody or anything. I've made a lot of fun of Emeril over the years, but here's a chef who's accomplished a lot in his life, worked his way up the hard way, has a genuine restaurant empire. He's one of the last of the professionals that they have on that network, and they seem to be weeding them out one after the other. So I'm sorry to see him go.
Well, what's going on over there? Why would they be doing that?
Well, much the same way as MTV is no longer about music, Food Network's not really about food. They've said as much. They're branding personalities, and that's working for them. It's a good business model, and they're going with that.
Well, you then travel the world about 10 months out of the year?
About, yeah. But I get to choose where we go. I work with close friends. We make self-indulgent little, standalone essays, ripping off our favorite film directors. Yeah. It's not a bad life.
Put the headphones on for just a minute, if
sure.
You don't mind. We'll take a couple calls for you. Maggie's in Elmhurst. Hey, Maggie, you're on WGN.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was really moved by your piece in Beirut. And it was just really profound to see everything. Was there anything about your experience there that you kind of left out of the production that you thought would be poignant or interesting?
You saw just about everything. When we were not shooting a show there, we were trapped in Beirut, and we shot just, I think, to alleviate boredom, and we shot what we saw.
When did this take place?
This was last year when we were shooting what was to be a happy food and travel show in Beirut, and war broke out, and we found ourselves unable to leave and under bombardment for 10 days, and were eventually evacuated by the Marines. And So we all of us had, in fact, vowed we're not going to make a show out of this. You know, I'm not Dan Rather. You know, it's totally inappropriate for a, you know, a snarky food and travel host to be doing a Beirut show. But so you saw it all, and I'm really proud of the way it turned out. That said, it was an utterly heartbreaking and discouraging.
But you did decide to go with it then. But you obviously did.
Yeah.
Well, what changed your mind about that?
My producers back in New York, my partners at the production company said, listen, I totally respect what you're saying. Let us shoot an interview with you where you talk about the experience, and then let us cut what you brought back, and we'll show it to you. And if you think it's okay, we'll go forward. If you don't think it's okay, we'll never speak of it again. And I think they did a really, really very, you know, beautiful job with it.
I liked your reaction to the Marines, especially just that you say you showed a different side of them to the people. I thought that was really moving.
They were so nice, and it's one of the things that, you know, when you read about, you know, even throughout history, any war correspondent, no matter how left wing, no matter how opposed to whatever conflict, anyone who spends serious time with the Marine Corps seems to fall in love with the Marine Corps. I mean, they're the comedians, artists, and poets, in fact, of the military, and they were absolutely kind and lovely to us, and sensitive, and all those things you kind of don't associate with, you know, killing machines.
Yeah, no kidding. What a great call. Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you.
Appreciate you joining us. We got just a couple minutes left with Anthony Bourdain. He's in our Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. This is John Williams on WGN Radio. His new book, No Reservations, Around the World. It's bylined on an empty stomach. You don't have an empty stomach. You have a full stomach.
Yeah.
But you look terrific. You evidently are able to maintain physical vim and vigor, which leads us to Jeff in Plano. Hey, Jeff, what was your question?
Hey, how's it going? A big fan of both of you guys.
Thank you.
Great talking to you. Well, my experiences from foreign countries and that kind of stuff, some are good. Europe was a blast in that. But you go down like Dominican and Mexico and stuff, what kind of a constitution do you have that you can do all this stuff? I mean, I've seen you eat stuff that would put most people in the hospital.
Yeah. Really, do you ever get sick? Do you very often get sick?
You know, generally if I'm spending quality time in a fetal position on a cold tile floor, it's usually alcohol-related. I mean, I'm pretty good. There have been some unhappy moments, but it's a small price to pay for all the really happy ones.
So it's not really a problem for you?
No, I mean, you know, it's nice to have some Imodium around or similar Blimodal or something like that.
But you've got no secrets? You don't travel with an emergency bad food kit? Nothing like that?
No. I drink plenty of local beverage. That seems to help.
Yeah, you are not afraid of the occasional glass of whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's not water.
know? Well, but that's true. I mean, sometimes the water is more dangerous than the booze. So what's your favorite alcoholic beverage around the globe?
I think Guinness in Dublin.
Really?
In Dublin, it's...
That sounds so cliche.
So perfect. It just Guinness gets less good the farther you get from Dublin. It's perfect. It's the perfect food there.
There's a picture of a naked man giving you a massage in here on page 97. What is going on here?
Well, I was, enticed to get a traditional Uzbek, you know, Arab-style
steam
massage in a hammam. And let me tell you, I found myself getting, you know, rear-mounted by this guy who looked like Ron Jeremy and tortured horribly for 45 minutes.
So
it
looks like
Midnight Express. I was completely oblivious to the sexual humiliation component because I was just trying so hard to not scream.
Yeah. Are there copies of this book available without this picture? Because it might help. I don't know.
Yeah, I wish, you know, in retrospect, I kind of blotted the whole episode out of my mind. I wish I could blot it out of the book.
It's fascinating viewing and reading, and it's always nice to see you. Anthony, thanks for coming by.
It was my pleasure. A lot of fun.
And good luck.